listening to the Early Childhood Leadership Academy podcast at Erickson Institute. Thank you for joining us as we continue the diversity conversation with Bessie Alcantara and Jim Norman.
Hi, Jim. Sometimes a person's individual culture conflicts with an organization. For example, one of the questions in the PDMI discusses a member who is Asian American and whose technical skills are superb and are valued by the group. However, the group itself has a strong preference for active verbal participation. Can you talk a little bit about how to bridge individual culture and organizational culture?
Well, in speaking about that question, it's actually an Asian American female with strong technical skills, but she's viewed as superb and valued by the group. These questions also focus on the six characteristics. This one in particularly is focusing on outcomes, and it's also focusing on the notion of preferences, conveniences, and tradition. The point being that the group's preference for strong, active, verbal participation, not articulated and not thought about, becomes a requirement for others. And so in this case, there is a point here that one needs to, at times, understand the culture they're entering, understand their cultural and preferences, and then determine where to make trade-offs. I'm an HR professional who at one point worked in the research and development group. And we had two ladders, a technical ladder and a management ladder. And if you wanted to go up the technical ladder, there'd be no problem in you contributing in the way that it's identified in this scenario for the Asian American female. You could bring your technical expertise, contribute to the team, and be very effective, and perhaps become a research fellow. But if you wanted to become a manager of people in my organization, which had a strong preference for active verbal participation, in fact, it was a requirement. It was how people were evaluated and judged. You would have had to show and demonstrate those skills. So as an HR professional, I would have blended A, B, C, and D, and I would have pulled the individual aside and spoke to them and said, you know, our organization has a preference for active verbal participation. It is so strong, it is actually a requirement. And many times you are evaluated by how well you do it. And so if you are interested in advancing your career up the management ladder, you need to consider that is going to be a challenge for you, something you will have to either assimilate to, develop a skill for, or your climb up the management ladder will be difficult. You could choose not to do that, and if your aspiration is the technical ladder, you can go as you're going and you will be absolutely fine because you've got superb skills and you're valued here in the organization. The individual could respond in one of two ways. Great. I really am interested in the management ladder. I want to be perceived as being capable of going up the management ladder. And then I could engage with her as to how to help. I know you're great on this topic area. When that comes up in the team meeting, I'll make sure that you get an opportunity to present your views. Because actually, in an environment where there's active verbal participation, it's hard for you to get a point in edgewise, frankly. It's hard for you to get a voice in that area. But if she says to me, well, I'm interested in being the management ladder, but I'm not willing to change, then I would say, you simply know the environment. And if you ever change your mind, I'll be glad to help you. But your path will be more difficult. This faces another reality that we do have to modify our behavior. We do it all the time for our family and friends. We modify our behavior. We do things. We say things in a softer tone. We season our speech with salt. We try things we wouldn't otherwise try for the love and respect of those around us. And why wouldn't we do that for those that we work with or for our career? So this is saying, number one, the correct response is do nothing. Leave her alone. She is doing everything she needs to do. It is the organization that has this strong preference which it has confused as a requirement. So just leave her alone. I think many organizations, and even me personally, would fail that question.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you sharing the example of how you would handle it. One of the challenges I even didn't didn't do that well on this question. And I think one of the challenges was wanting to do all of the above.
And that is the point of the PDMI is for us to have a conversation around the six characteristics of diversity and maturity. Because in the real world, we have what I'll call grace. We can have a conversation and an interaction, and it doesn't go well. And we kind of feel it in our stomach. But the other person says, well, I know Jim, and I know he meant well. He didn't mean to say that or come off that way. So I get some grace. But I walk away going, I'm going to try something different next time. That's the whole notion of maturity. So these questions are much better when we talk about the scenarios. And in the real world, you actually get to take a non-preferred response and apply it a couple of times and move from a 5-point response to a 7-point response to a 10-point response with a level of comfort and knowing that you're building skills around the six characteristics.
Thank you, Jim.
Please join us for the next podcast in this series entitled Educational Diversity.